Tonight, shots fired at an Illinois high school.
And all of a sudden, teacher comes in saying, go, 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 go.
Police say a teenager suddenly opened fire, taken down by a school resource officer who fired back. That officer now being hailed as a hero. Also tonight, President Trump's new admission about that secret payment from his personal lawyer to a porn star. $500 million, Michigan State's massive new settlement for hundreds of women who say they were targeted by a predator doctor. A new warning about an alarming rise in suicide attempts among young girls.
I had my pills in my room, so I was like, you know what, it's fine. It's whatever, whatever happens, happens, and I took them.
Tonight, a mother and daughter and their warning to other kids and parents. And the secrets revealed behind the audio clip that is dividing friends and families.
Laurel. Laurel.
Why do some people hear Yanni and others hear Laurel? What do you hear?
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. There has been another school shooting, but this one is not about lives lost, but lives saved and what happens when everything works. A school police officer credited with confronting and stopping a former student after he opened fire this morning at a high school in Dixon, Illinois. Students there are traumatized, but grateful tonight that they were spared the kind of horror that has visited far too many American schools. Our Blake McCoy has that story.
It was just after 8 a.m., gunshots near the gym where seniors at Dixon High School were gathering for graduation practice.
Shots fired at Dixon High School. Shots fired at Dixon High School.
One of the gym teachers ran in, told everybody to go. He looked white as a ghost. And then all of a sudden, there's just teachers saying, go, 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 get out of here.
Students barricade themselves in classrooms as school resource officer Mark Dallas, an armed cop, confronts the 19-year-old male suspect, who runs. Gunfire is exchanged. The suspect is shot in the shoulder and arrested.
A lot of things went right today when a great many of them could have gotten wrong.
All due to the hero in the hallways.
You see it all over the news and you never think it would happen to you.
I feel like we're a fairly safe town, but all it takes is one child to snap.
Police have not identified the shooter, but say he's a former student. Motive unknown. Brandon Steele calls him a former friend.
But I knew he was a little crazy when it came to guns. He had a couple guns, and they weren't just your average 22.
Police credit everyone at the school for doing as they're trained, especially that school resource officer who ran towards the gunfire, thwarting potential catastrophe.
We are forever indebted to him for his service and his bravery.
A hero who saved an untold number of lives. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Chicago.
Now to President Trump and what he admitted today about secret payments to his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen. The president's new financial disclosure shows he repaid Cohen a six-figure amount for expenses from 2016. The same year, Cohen paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to stay silent about the affair she alleges with the president. NBC Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson has the story.
The president now appearing to acknowledge a payoff to a porn star for the first time in financial filings. In a footnote on page 45, confirming he reimbursed his longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen, for expenses incurred in 2016. The president's attorneys have said he didn't know until recently that just before the election, Cohen paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to keep quiet about an alleged affair with Donald Trump, a relationship the president has denied.
You cannot reconcile what the president stood on that plane and said to the American people with the disclosure form that was filed under penalty of perjury earlier today.
The Office of Government Ethics requires these forms to be filed yearly to prevent conflicts of interest. They're not as comprehensive as tax returns, which the president has refused to release, but they do show how much money his hotels are making, like his D.C. property, raking in more than $40 million last year. Some ethics experts worry it's become a magnet for foreign governments and lobbyists looking to get in the president's good graces.
It doesn't tell us who it's coming from, and it certainly doesn't take away the possibility of very significant conflicts of interest.
The filings show Melania Trump's earning power, too. She made money in royalties last year for photos from before her time as first lady, at least $100,000 and maybe up to $1 million. At the White House, a powerful platform plus a profit. And speaking of the First Lady, she is recovering from that kidney procedure earlier in the week, getting another visit from her husband late tonight. She says she is feeling great and looking forward to getting back home here at the White House soon. Lester.
Allie Jackson at the White House. Thank you. Tonight, after weeks of hype, there are new doubts over whether that face-to-face meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will even happen at all. The North Koreans are balking over demands about their nuclear weapons program. President Trump is not backing down. NBC's Peter Alexander now has the latest.
Thank you very much.
Tonight, the summit standoff. President Trump, for the first time, addressing North Korea's threats to call off next month's historic meeting with Kim Jong-un.
We'll have to see. We haven't seen anything. We haven't heard anything. We will see what happens.
The president standing by his demand that a deal include North Korea get rid of its nuclear weapons. But today, one of Kim Jong-un's top deputies is framing that as a non-starter, warning we are no longer interested in a negotiation that will be all about driving us into a corner and making a one-sided demand. The North now taking aim at National Security Advisor John Bolton, blasting him as repugnant, seizing on these recent comments.
We have very much in mind the Libya model from 2003-2004.
Bolton citing Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's agreement to shut down its nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief. But years later, Gaddafi was deposed and killed. The White House today downplaying Bolton's comments.
This is the President Trump model. He's going to run this the way he sees fit. We're 100% confident.
North Korea's defiant stance a sharp reversal from recent conciliatory steps, including the release of three U.S. prisoners last week. But experts warn Kim Jong-un's gamesmanship, looking for maximum leverage, is nothing new.
The North Koreans are very good at surprising us, but if we had any sense of history, we would have understand that this is a page from their playbook.
Also tonight, as President Trump gears up for that scheduled summit, ousted Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is delivering an apparent swipe at the president, warning that the U.S. is experiencing, in his words, a growing crisis in ethics and integrity.
If our leaders seek to conceal the truth, or we as people become accepting of alternative realities that are no longer grounded in facts, then we as American citizens are on a pathway to relinquishing our freedom.
Those remarks part of a commencement address at a military college where Tillerson never mentioned the president by name. Lester.
All right, Peter Alexander at the White House as well tonight. Thank you. Now to that massive settlement, $500 million for hundreds of young women, many of them gymnasts, who say they were targeted by a predator doctor, a man they trusted to take care of them. NBC's Ann Thompson has details on the new payout from Michigan State University.
More nights than now.
This is the pain.
And I have experienced flashback nightmares of the abuse.
The fury.
Let her speak! Let her speak!
That drove Michigan State University to reach a $500 million settlement with 332 women who say they were sexually abused by Dr. Larry Nassar, a former employee. Nassar's victims, overwhelmingly young female gymnasts.
Larry Nassar, I hate you.
Like 15-year-old Emma Ann Miller.
I'm just glad that MSU is finally starting to work with us and not against us. For my sister's survivors, I'm just hoping that this will bring them some peace.
Other women say they told the university about Nassar as far back as 21 years ago, but nothing was done. In the settlement, the survivors will split $425 million, individual payouts to be determined by a mediator. The other $75 million set aside for victims who have yet to come forward. MSU calling it responsible and equitable, adding they are working every day to prevent sexual misconduct. But Rachel Den Hollander, the first woman to publicly accuse Nassar, in a statement says she's deeply disappointed at the missed opportunity for meaningful reform at the university. Tonight, contested lawsuits remain for the other groups Nassar worked with, USA Gymnastics, the U.S. Olympic Committee, and coaches Bella and Marta Caroli, as does the pain money can't erase. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
At least six people have been killed after violent storms swept across the Northeast, downing trees and causing widespread damage in several states. Several communities have declared emergencies with people stuck in their homes without power. We get more now from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Tonight, a first look at the desperate struggle to save an 11-year-old girl.
Oh my God, is somebody trapped inside a car?
Trapped after a tree fell on the car while she was helping her mother unload.
While the fire department was doing all the help they could
gave in that moment, the lady was really desperate. She's right in front of the car watching her daughter dying.
She's now one of at least six victims of a fierce storm that moved through in minutes, cutting a path of destruction.
Well, hell broke loose, you know, and this is what happened and stuff. This blew off the roof right in front of me.
Entire neighborhoods cut off.
I had to crawl under about four or five trees. That's how bad it was.
To get to your house?
Literally crawl under trees to get to the house. It's like a nuclear bomb went off.
Oh! So many trees down, Jay Murphy had to carry his sick child. There was no other way out.
I think we're going to be out of power like three nights probably.
And tonight, lines for gas are growing, as for some, supplies run short.
And this is one of those neighborhoods that is still cut off as they're working to clear the roads. The National Weather Service is confirming this was an EF2 tornado here, winds of 110 miles an hour. They also detected a tsunami off the coast of New Jersey, Lester. So this is a storm nobody is going to forget.
All right. Kristen Dahlgren, thank you. A red alert has been issued on Hawaii's Big Island after the Kilauea volcano spewed a plume of ash 12,000 feet in the air. Officials are now warning planes to stay clear of the area as residents on the ground brace for what could be the biggest eruption yet. National correspondent Miguel Almaguer is there and has the latest.
With smoke and ash soaring 12,000 feet up, Kilauea on the brink of a violent eruption, the threat level raised to its highest, code red.
This is really a historic event, and it's something to see.
Inside Kilauea's crater, where a hot lava lake is dropping, a catastrophic steam explosion is imminent. Downwind, paradise in peril. Communities like Pahala bracing for a blanket of ash.
It's humid, it's sticky, it's just bad.
With new fissures splitting open, lava bombs and molten rivers are encasing streets in petrified rock. A striking before and after look at the damage, stretching across neighborhoods and forest land.
We might have two or three days of no action, then all of a sudden a new vent pops up.
Tonight, Kilauea, a double threat. Lava destroying communities while its crater rumbles back to life, threatening to blow.
Even a safe distance away from the fissures, you can feel the ground shake in what sounds like a jet engine overhead. Locals say for the last several days, lava has been flying through the air. And while many of people are waiting for the crater to explode, the ground here is shaking every day. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer in the thick of it there. Thank you. In North Carolina, it's being called the largest teacher protest in state history. A sea of red as thousands of teachers walked off the job, meaning no school today for more than a million students. Teachers marched on the Capitol in Raleigh, demanding raises and more education spending. North Carolina is the sixth state to have teachers walk out in recent weeks. Now to stunning new research about a sad reality facing so many American families. Here in the U.S., the number of young people who have considered or attempted suicide is rising sharply. Teens and girls are the most vulnerable. NBC's Cynthia McFadden has the story in our series, One in Five, Kids at Risk.
It's hard to imagine when you meet 16-year-old cheerleader Kirsten Killian that she ever tried to kill herself.
I'm just always smiling and laughing.
But what's going on the outside isn't always the same as what's going on inside. Kirsten's mother, Ashley McDonald, knew something was wrong when her 9-year-old opened the car door while she was driving 60 miles an hour.
You think it was an actual conscious suicide attempt?
Yes. I mean, I hate to say it, but yes.
A year ago, she came very close to ending her life once again.
I had gotten in a fight with my dad, and I was like, that's it, I'm done. And I had my pills in my room, so I was like, you know what, it's fine. It's whatever, whatever happens, happens, and I took them. But then I got scared, and I regretted it right away, so I told my mom, and we went to the hospital.
You almost lost her.
I did. It was really scary. Really scary and still hard to relive it.
An alarming new study just out today shows the number of kids like Kirsten making hospital visits for suicidal thoughts and actual suicide attempts is growing, increasing by 175% between 2008 and 2015. Half the cases, kids between the ages of 15 and 17, two-thirds of them, girls. The researchers say school is playing a central role.
We know that the rates of hospitalization are half in July what they are in October.
The big question, why?
Some people have theorized that social media may be playing a role, that kids don't feel as connected as they used to be.
Kirsten's advice to other kids who are struggling?
If you talk to somebody and you open up about your feelings, even though it is hard and it's very scary, I'm still scared to talk about it. Things will get better.
Kirsten herself is proof of that. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, Gap, Pennsylvania.
A tough topic, but one we need to be talking about. Still ahead, the new CDC alert on the nationwide E. coli outbreak. Is romaine lettuce safe to eat again? But first, royal wedding countdown. All the drama over who will walk Meghan Markle down the aisle and the moment she and Prince Harry knew they were in love. Back now with the countdown to the royal wedding. With just 3 days until the big event, there is a lot of drama over who will and who won't be there for the bride, Meghan Markle. And tonight, we take you inside her romance with Prince Harry and reveal the moment they fell in love. Here's NBC's Keir Simmons.
Tonight, William and Kate's children, Prince George and Princess Charlotte, among the newly announced page boys and bridesmaids. But still no word on who will walk Meghan Markle down the aisle. It reportedly won't be her father, at the center of a British media storm over those allegedly staged paparazzi pictures.
He sent me a message that he was undergoing heart surgery.
Tonight, telling TMZ he's out of surgery. Meghan's mom will be here. A friend from Los Angeles.
His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, requests the pleasure of the company of me.
Exclusively telling tonight's NBC special, Inside the Royal Wedding.
It was quite clear that that was her guy, that was her one.
The pair falling in love on only their third date in Africa.
We camped out with each other under the stars.
NBC News was given rare access to the stunning safari camp.
The time Harry and Meghan spent at this camp in Botswana deepened their relationship. Harry was able to share with her his love of Africa, and they could spend private time away from the intense public scrutiny back home.
Scrutiny that just days before their wedding is more intense than ever. Now the American actress about to become Her Royal Highness, her new audience, the British public. Harry, her leading man. Keir Simmons, NBC News, Windsor.
Coming up, the hilarious senior prank that even have police saying that was a good one. A big update tonight on that major E. coli outbreak. It may be safe again to eat romaine lettuce. That's because the CDC says the last shipments of romaine lettuce from the Yuma, Arizona region, which was linked to the outbreak, are now beyond their 21-day shelf life. And it's unlikely that it's still in restaurants or stores. The outbreak killed one person and sickened at least 172 more across 32 states. The nation's largest retailer, Walmart, is making a major new play for shoppers. Walmart has overhauled its website and is adding a dedicated Lord & Taylor online store that will feature more than 125 premium fashion brands. And it was a prank so convincing, it's even earning kudos from the police department. A group of high school seniors in Cumberland, Wisconsin, set up the elaborate senior prank, what looked like a car crash, right through the front of the building, the back half sticking out of a giant hole in the wall. In fact, it was all fake. Half a car from a junkyard stuck against a black tarp and some loose bricks. Pretty impressive. When we come back, the great debate on social media that has America totally obsessed. So which one do you hear, Yanni or Laurel? Finally tonight, let's settle this once and for all. It's Yanni. Or at least that's what I thought when I first listened to it last night. But now all I hear is Laurel. We're talking about the audio clip that's dividing friends and families, not to mention the newsroom that puts together this broadcast. We ask Gadi Schwartz to dive into the great debate.
One word.
Laurel.
Then the question of the day, what do you hear? Online and in the streets, a raging debate.
I hear a mixture of the two of them.
I only hear Yanny.
How do you hear Laurel out of that, bro?
I'm just hearing Laurel.
If you are hearing the words Laurel or Yanny over and over again and wondering what is the big deal, let me show you the battle of frequencies at play. Now this right here is isolating the high frequencies where most people hear Yanny. And this right here is isolating the low frequency where a lot of people hear Laurel.
Laurel.
Experts chalk it up to some people being able to pick up a higher pitch that others can't pick up at all.
It's the 2018 version of the dress all over again, but the bigger mystery, who started this craze?
I want to give him or her the credit that she or he deserves.
Here's the YouTuber Chloe Feldman, who explains how she found it on a message board, tweeted it, and then boom.
Oh my God, Ellen retweeted it. Literally everything at my show just stopped to see if people hear Laurel or Jenny.
By afternoon, it was the talk of Congress.
I'd like to declare something that is just so obvious. It is Laurel and not Yanni.
Hollywood, all coming down to the final arbiter.
Laurel.
Yanni himself resting on his laurels. Gadi Schwartz, NBC News.
I'm going to let you all continue the discussion at home and say we appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night, Yanni.